Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is
good morning. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord with us here at the Boones Mill Church as we worship together. And for you that are visiting with us, we want to say a warm welcome to you. The sermon series that we're having, Connecting with God, we've been having for several weeks now, and this is the sixth week. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer and looking at how can we get connected spiritually with God. Today's message is the prayer of release, part six of our series. In the first week, we looked at our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that was the prayer of connection. We looked at what kind of Father is God really for us? What's he like? And we found that God is a loving God and caring God and one that wants to have a relationship with us. And then the next week we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the prayer of surrender. And it is the answer how to overcome stress that we have in life. When things are difficult, we understand that God is the ruler of life. The next week we looked at give us this day our daily bread, which is the prayer of dependence. And it deals with how to overcome worry when we don't have enough and when we wonder how we're going to get through. God provides. Last week, we looked at the prayer of cleansing. Forgive us our sins. The answer to when we fail. And we all do. I would love to stand up here and say that, you know, I've been sinless, I've never sinned, but that can't be true. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But how do we overcome when we do sin? How do we overcome that guilt from failure? The prayer of cleansing helps us to do that. Now, this week, we want to look at the prayer of release, which deals with how to overcome resentment. The Bible says, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Now, we pray, Lord, we want you to forgive us as much as we forgive everybody else. And now, we need to look at that very closely, because we only want God to forgive us as much as we're willing to forgive others. That's the prayer of release. The fact is, you know, in your life, you're going to be hurt by other people. You've probably been hurt many times in the past. And you're going to be hurt in the future. Sometimes intentionally by others, and sometimes unintentionally. If you don't learn how to release that hurt, it's going to pile up in your life. It's going to eat away inside of you. If you allow resentments and grudges and anger to build up inside of you, if you don't know how to let it go, it'll poison your spirit inside of you. And instead of being the kind of child of God wants you to be in this world, you're going to be something much different. It's one thing, however, to forgive people who just hurt us one time, and that's it. We seem to have a easier time to forgive them for that, just that one offense. But what about repeated offenders who keep doing it over and over and over, and they just keep hurting you? What are you supposed to do with those kind of people? How often am I supposed to forgive somebody who continually keeps on hurting me? Well, that's a good question. And in fact, It was the question that one of the followers of Jesus asked. You remember Peter, the Apostle Peter. He asked Jesus this same question 2,000 years ago. He said, Jesus told the story in our scripture that we read this morning in response to that question that Peter asked. You remember Peter, we didn't read this, but this is what Peter said. He said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Now, the truth is about 90% of all the resentments starts in the family. Most anger and resentment happens to the people closest to you. It is the people around us that we're closest to that often hurts us the most. And Peter asked in Jesus, how often do I have to keep forgiving my brother? Because, you know, the Jewish law required that you had to forgive a person 3 times if you obeyed the law. But after 3 times you had forgiven that person, it's not your responsibility anymore. You're off the hook. You don't have to follow that law anymore. You don't have to forgive them anymore. So Peter says, and he seems to be very generous here before Jesus. He said, Jesus, knowing the law says you only need to forgive 3 times, Peter said, should I forgive him 7 times? Now, Peter's thinking, you know, I'm really generous and Jesus is going to be impressed that I said 7 times when the law only requires 3. And notice Jesus' response. Jesus answered, well, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. And the point is, if I'm counting the times I need to forgive someone, then I'm not really forgiving them. It's not really forgiveness. He's saying an unlimited number of times is how often you should forgive. You have to keep on releasing the hurt. And you have to keep on forgiving the offender. Today we're going to talk about what that means and what it doesn't mean. But Jesus wanted to clarify this. And he said, you've just got to keep on forgiving the people in your life. So he told the story in Matthew 18 that we read this morning, which is called the story of the unforgiving servant. This is how Jesus answered Peter, how many times am I to forgive my brother? He told this story, and it's about the king who decided to collect on all his debts that his servants owed him, and he discovered that one of his servants owed him millions of dollars. He was in debt that far, and the king ordered him to be sold along with his wife and his family until he repaid all of his debt. And the servant fell down on his knees and he begged and he said, please, look, just give me a little more time and I will pay the debt. And the king had compassion and he had mercy, and the king felt sorry for him and he said, look, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive the whole debt. I'm going to write it off. And he released the man that he forgave and canceled the entire debt. Why would anybody do that? And more importantly, why must you do it? In other words, why must you let people off the hook who've hurt you deeply and badly? When everything in you wants to hold on to that hurt, and God's Word gives us 3 reasons why we have to let go of that hurt, why we have to forgive, why we have to not hold on to resentment, and these are the 3 reasons. First of all, it says, because God forgives me. God has forgiven me many, many times. So I am to forgive other people. That is the prayer of release. Lord, forgive my sins, but just forgive me just as I have forgiven others. That's the prayer of relief. God sent Jesus Christ to pay for our debt, for our sins, for our failures. Everything you've ever done wrong in your life has already been paid for, and you don't have to be responsible in a way to pay for that debt. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died for all of your sin. So let me ask you a question this morning. If you were that servant in this story that we read, How would you feel if you were told by someone that you owed millions of dollars? Let's just call it even. I know how I would feel. I would feel joy. I would feel gratitude. I would feel freedom. I would feel like partying and thanking God for what had happened. I would feel like being nice to everybody else because somebody had just forgiven me millions of dollars of my debt. But that's not what the servant did. In this story, he reacts very differently. In fact, what he does is once he's forgiven, he walks out and he encounters a guy who owes him just a little bit of money, and he has him thrown in jail for not paying. Although he had been forgiven millions of dollars of debt, he shows no mercy to a guy who owes him a little bit. And the reason why we have such a hard time forgiving other people is because we sometimes don't feel like they deserve it. Because sometimes we don't feel like we deserve it. Sometimes we don't feel forgiven. In Ephesians, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The most forgiving people in the world are those who feel that they are the most forgiving. So I am to forgive other people because of how much God has forgiven me. And second, resentment is self-torture. Resentment is a self-inflicted wound. Whenever you're resentful, whenever you're holding a grudge, when you're bitter, it always hurts you more than it hurts the person that you're bitter against. In fact, probably they're not even thinking about it. They hurt you in the past, but they are not even thinking about that now. They've forgotten about it. They've gone on with their life, and you're still worrying about something that happened a year ago or 10 years ago or maybe something that happened back in your childhood. Your past is past, and it can't hurt you anymore unless you hold on to it in resentment and with grudges. And holding on to the hurt is called resentment. It's self-torture. Job says, to worry yourself to death with resentment is foolish. It's a senseless thing to do. It doesn't work. Resentment is self-torture. You're only hurting yourself. And that's why Job says, further, he says, some men stay happy until the day they die, and others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. So let me ask you, what memory tortures you every time you think about what somebody's done to you? That person who hurt you, and you're still mad at them? Friends, it's not worth it. You've got to let it go. You've got to learn how to pray the prayer of release. Father, forgive me just as I've forgiven others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everybody else who sins against us. Everybody who's hurt us and been mean to us, Father, forgive them. I have to learn to forgive because God has forgiven me so much. And I have to forgive because resentment is self-torture. And then there's one other reason. I have to release this person because I need forgiveness every day. The Bible teaches very clearly that we cannot receive what we're unwilling to give. Do you want to be forgiven? The Bible says you need to be forgiving to others. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins as much as we forgive others. And God, I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive them. And that's something we have to be very careful about. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do at one time. You need to do it every day of your life. You need to ask for forgiveness. And you need to offer forgiveness. You need it because you mess up a lot in your life. Probably mess up some every day. And you need forgiveness. But you've got to employ it also. You've got to give it to other people. And you have to do it over and over and over. In fact, in Jesus' story, the king treats the servant exactly the way the servant treats the other guy. Jesus says, as he concludes this story about this king and the servant that was forgiven, Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." How do I release that hurt? The Bible says there are three things I need to do in order to release that hurt so that I can forgive others, so that I can find the freedom to and be able to have the peace of mind again and not be bugged by that person or that hurt that has come. There's three things. How do I release my hurt? What do I do with my anger? First of all, I leave it in the hands of God. It's like saying, "Okay, God, I'm not going to try to get even. I'm going to let you settle the score. I'm going to let you handle the justice." And you could easily say, "I have a right to get even with that person who hurt me." But what you need to do is to say, "I'm not going to do it." The Bible says in Romans 12, it says, "Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for He has said He will repay those who deserve it." Who can settle the score better with someone who has hurt you? Can you do that, or can God? Well, I think it's a no-brainer. I think God can settle the score better. So leave it to God. Forgiveness does not mean that you have some kind of instant restoration of trust to that person. Not at all. Forgiveness is instant, but trust must be built over time. Forgiveness is based on grace. Trust is built on works. You earn trust. You don't earn forgiveness. Forgiveness is built on grace. So how do I release my hurt? First, I leave it into the hands of God. And second, I heal it with grace. Friends, the only cure for your hurting heart, for people that have hurt you, the only cure to get this person out of your mind is with grace. God's grace. In Hebrews 12, it says, "Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace that God has given. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many people." So if you don't do that, if you're not careful to do it, what is inside of you and eating you will poison your spirit. Friends, if you don't get God's grace in your life, life will make you bitter. Is forgiveness fair? Absolutely not. Forgiveness is not about fairness. It is not about justice. It's about grace. And this train coming through right now, I've got to find a way to forgive that train for making all this noise. You don't forgive a person because it's a fair thing to do. You forgive a person because it's the right thing to do. And you don't want your heart full of poison. You don't want your heart holding on to the hurt and the hate. It is the grace of God that gives you forgiveness. Why do I even need to talk about the grace of God? Because you don't deserve God's forgiveness. You don't. You don't deserve God's forgiveness. but God wants to give it to you. God sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus paid for your life. It wasn't fair that you were forgiven. It's not fair that you don't have to pay for your sins. But it's not about fairness. It's about grace. The Bible says Christ carried our sins in His body on the cross. He died and He did it for us so that we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. You are healed because of what Jesus did. You are healed because of His wounds. And what did Jesus, what He did on the cross, has paid for your sins. All of them. Everything you've done in the past, everything you would do today, everything you'll do in the future. He paid for your sins to heal all of the hurts that are in your heart. Forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus His life. It cost God His Son. And as Jesus was dying on the cross and His arms were outstretched upon that cross and the blood was dripping down, He was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And He was saying, "Father, I love them. I love you and you and you and you. And I love you and you. That's why I'm doing this." And He said, "They don't deserve my love, Father. They didn't even know why I'm doing this. Father, forgive them." So how do I release my hurt for someone who has hurt me? First, I leave it into the hands of God. And second, I let God's grace heal it and heal my heart. And there's only one other thing that we need to do with my hurt and my hang-up and your hurt and your hang-up. We need to nail it to the cross. Everything you need in life is found in the power of the cross. Jesus on the cross broke the chains of sin and death and bondage and addictions and habits and all the other things that pull our life apart. And the cross has the power to put you back together. The cross has the power to free you. You say, "Free me from what?" Free you from your guilt of the sin that is in your life. Free you from your past grudges. Free you from your past grief. Free you from your regrets and free you from your resentments. Nothing else can heal you like Jesus can with His death on the cross. There's no psychology, there's no theology, there's no pill, there's no therapy, there's no book, there's no self-help seminar. There's nothing that is going to release you from the hurt in your mind of people who's hurt you and the guilt in your mind for people that you've hurt except to come to Jesus and to come to the cross where He paid the price for each of us. It is God's answer to all of our needs. And that's why millions of people wear a little cross around their neck on a necklace. Because it's a symbol. It's a symbol of the power to free you from the bondage of bitterness and sin and make you a new child of God. You know, my natural inclination when you hurt me is for me to hurt you back. That's my natural inclination. My natural inclination when you say something bad about me is for me to say something bad about you and to hold on to it and to hold on resentment to you and never forgive you. That's my natural inclination. And all of the things that I'm naturally inclined to do actually make it worse. We know that our old life died on the cross so that our sinful selves would have no power over us. And we would no longer be slaves to that power and that sin. No longer slaves to the past. When we hold that resentment and hold that grudges and do not forgive, it is hurtful to us. What we need to do is to have grace and be forgiving to others as God has forgiven us. When Christ died on the cross, your old life died there too. And when Jesus rose from the dead, and He did rise from the dead, and He is alive, and He is right here in this service with His Spirit blowing through this place right now to speak to our hearts and lives. And you can come here today, and Christ can change you. And Christ can make you different and make you give you a new life if you will let Him. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, only You understand how much I've been hurt. And God, I don't want to carry the pain for another day. I don't want to be a bitter person. But I need Your grace and the power of the cross to release my hurt and to forgive those who've hurt me. Oh God, let today be my turning point. First, I need to experience Your forgiveness. And so God, forgive me for my sin. You know all the ways I've hurt others, and I'm sorry for my sins. And Father, I just pray, thank You for Jesus who has died for me. I accept Your grace and forgiveness, and I need it every day. Today I'm turning to You, and I'm choosing to forgive the way You have forgiven me. Every time the memory comes back, and every time I'm hurt, and every time someone says something, I'll forgive them again and again and again until the pain is gone. Heal my heart with Your breath, with Your grace, with Your love. Oh God, breathe Your breath of life in me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive Your church with life and power. Oh, breath of life, come cleanse and renew us. And fit Your church to meet this hour.
Oh, wind of God, come bend us, break us.
Oh, wind of God, come bend us, break us. Till harmony confesses. Then in Your tenderness remake us. Revive, restore for this weeping.
Oh, breath of love.
Oh, breath of love, come breathe within us. Renewing thoughts and will and come, love of Christ, afresh to win us. Revive Your church in every heart.
Revive us, Lord.
Revive us, Lord, it's elevating. What harvest fields are vast and wide. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip Your church to spread the light.
Revive us, Lord.
Revive us, Lord, as You waiting. What harvest fields are vast and revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip Your church to spread the word.